You have a Bible this morning. I would love for you to take it and find the book of Titus. Titus. Little book in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul, written to a young man named Titus. I will communicate to you and admit to you right away this morning that I am more nervous than I usually am. Why, Pastor? I'm always nervous when you preach the Word of God, but there's an extra special nervousness when you preach to ladies. I've had this opportunity one time. My wife was planning a Mother's Day or a ladies event, and the speaker she had lined up canceled right at the last moment, and so she needed a speaker. And no matter how much I insisted on it otherwise, she allowed me the privilege to speak. And I was never so nervous in that room with all of those ladies in my life. I told her afterwards, never again, ever. We'll cancel the whole thing and we just won't do that. I'm always nervous when I preach to ladies. It's on Mother's Day today. I want to preach to the ladies. Ladies, I want to say some things right up front. Mother's Day is not an easy day to preach. Matter of fact, it's the hardest message I preach all year. I love it and I hate it. Why do you love it and you hate it? I love it because I love the day. I hate it because there's such emotion tied to Mother's Day. I may not know your personal story. I know I don't know your personal story. I grew up in a home with a godly mother, and Mother's Day was celebrated and is celebrated today. Not everybody grew up like that. Not everybody grew up with a loving mother. Not everybody grew up close to their mother. Not everyone grew up in a relationship that would be what I would consider to be kind and gracious. I don't know. Some of you have lost your mother. Some of you are celebrating Mother's Day for the first time without your mother today, and all kinds of emotion that goes on. I have ladies in the room that want to be mothers, and for whatever reason, God has not allowed that through their womb. And so as a preacher, you fall on your face before God and you say, God, I cannot touch every heart in the room, but I know that you can touch every heart in the room. And so I said, God, I don't want my message today. I need your message today. And I believe that God has laid a message on my heart that I'd like to preach to you. Ladies, this is my challenge to you. I promise you, the whole message is not for you. But there is a part in here that is for you. And I would beg you not to leave today until you have your part. I would also beg you, once you have your part and I'm still preaching, don't leave in the middle of my message, okay? This is not like graduation. When they call your kid name, you can go, all right? You hang in there and you just sit there and smile and look pretty. I also want to let you know that I'm preaching today to encourage and lift you. And I'm celebrating womanhood. I'm celebrating ladies. I'm celebrating Mother's Day. And I find no greater place to do that than from the Word of God. And I know that our culture says a lot about what a man is supposed to be and what a lady is supposed to be. But I would submit to you that the one who created men and women knows exactly how we are to be. And he has a lot to say about it. The book of Titus is a precious little book. It is a book written by the Apostle Paul. It's written to this young man, Titus, who the Apostle Paul led to the Lord. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 4 in chapter number 1, you find that he addresses Titus this way, mine own son after the common faith. He was not Paul's biological son, but Paul had led Titus to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Titus had developed a tremendous relationship with the Lord. And Titus had been called by God into ministry. And Titus had a unique and special blessing upon his life. I'm sure he had upon his life the power of God. And I know that his mother was very pleased of what God has done in his life. And to this effect, the Apostle Paul reckoned the call of God upon Titus's life. And the Apostle Paul uses Titus in the city of Crete. And he uses him in a ministry place. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 5. You need this setting so I can teach you some things today. In verse number 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order." That phrase, set in order, is like setting a broken bone. Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. There was a problem in the city of Crete. And the problem in the city of Crete had begun to infiltrate into the church. The island of Crete, or the city of Crete, was not a very kind place. It was a very pagan culture. Matter of fact, there's a description of it in verse number 12. This description comes from a Cretan himself. In verse number 12, Paul says, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies.'" I didn't say that. One of their own said that. Into this type of culture came the Apostle Paul, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching the light of Jesus Christ. And praise God, the gospel did in the culture of Crete what the gospel has done in the cultures of the world. It has brought light to a lost and dying world. And men and women heard the love of God. They heard the salvation of God. They heard about the Lord Jesus. They heard about his sacrificial death, his burial, his rising again to life. They heard about the fact that if they would put their faith and trust in him, that they could be redeemed from their sin. And into that dark culture came the light of the gospel, and men and women's lives began to get transformed as they had developed a relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that is not just a biblical relationship. That is a relationship that is available today. Watch this. If you have a living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, would you say amen? Amen. I trust that you do as well. And so Paul leaves Titus here in Crete, because what is happening is that there is begun an infiltration because of the lack of spiritual leadership in these churches. The Cretan culture had begun to come back into the church. That's why Paul said to Titus, "I need you to go everywhere there was a church and make sure there's a pastor there. Make sure there is spiritual leadership in that church." Because what was happening, if you look in verse number 10, you will find that there was an intrusion into the church. Paul says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision," or the Jews, "whose mouths must be stopped." So Titus, I'm leaving you at this church to spiritually punch these people in the mouth. Boy, that's every pastor's dream right there, let me tell you. Why do they need to be stopped? Look at verse 11. "Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." So there's been this intrusion now of vain talkers and deceivers, spiritual leadership that's not spiritual or biblical. And because this has infiltrated with the lack of true spiritual leadership, there's all this confusion going on inside of these churches. Now, if you look at verse number 13, this is the admonition Paul gave. "Ladies, don't lose me. Stay. You need the foundation." He acknowledges the witness of the Cretan. And then in verse 13, "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the" what? In the faith. What faith? He's talking about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the faith of the Word of God. So Paul preached the gospel. Churches started. Unfortunately, there was the lack of leadership in continuing. Now the Cretan culture is beginning to move in. And it's a culture of deceptiveness. It's a culture of eloquence. But it's a culture that has tremendous danger as it's beginning to lead people away from sound faith. By the way, where do we find sound faith? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So ultimately, this church, this culture was pulling this church away from the word of God. And as it was doing that, you will find in verses 14, 15, and 16, the result of what was happening inside the church. Now, if you're going to restore a church to sound faith, you must use chapter 2, verse number 1. Titus, speak thou the things which become sound, what? Doctrine. So I've got a church here that has lacked pastoral leadership. I've got a culture that has infiltrated this church. This culture is doing like our culture today is doing. It's pulling the church away from the word of God. You may be visiting us today, and you may be from a different city in a different state, or you may be from a different church. But let me explain something to you. It is so vital to your life that you attend a Bible preaching church. One that preaches unashamedly the word of God. There's such a pull now in our culture against the word of God. Paul said to Titus, rebuke them for that. I want you to go in there and I want you to bring them back to sound faith. But in order to bring them to sound faith, you must preach sound doctrine. It's sound doctrine that builds sound faith, sound truth. That doctrine comes from the word of God. So you understand where we are. You understand the church. You understand it's lacking a pastor. You understand what Paul wanted Titus to do to set those things in order. He wanted him to come against the culture that was pulling them away from the word of God. And he wants them to be reestablished again in sound faith and sound doctrine. If you're with me, say amen. Okay. Now watch how he approaches this sound doctrine. Immediately in chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Apostle Paul begins to encourage Titus to instruct the men and the women inside of the church. And he divides them, men and women, in his instruction. And then he divides them in age and in youth. And so as we make our way through here, we will save the men for Father's Day. And I want to speak to the ladies today. And the Apostle Paul lays out for Titus some practical truth that has been built off of doctrinal truth. By the way, doctrinal truth is so practical for your life. That's why, this is why it's so important that churches preach doctrine. These churches that aren't preaching doctrine, they have nothing to give you the platform of practicality other than the pastor's own experience. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't need my opinion, you don't need my will, and you don't need my experience. You need the word of God. And so Paul's going to teach them practically as men and as women how to relate to themselves, how to relate to God, and then how to relate to one another. And in the course of this, I think we're going to find wonderful truths for our ladies today. And so let's pick up with verse number 3. And you will find in verse number 3 that the Bible says, the aged women. Oh boy, God help my soul. Verse number 4, you're going to find that the Bible says the young women. All kinds of thoughts are going through my mind right now, but they're not of God. So let's move forward here. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh, say that word class, holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So the Apostle Paul starts with the aged men and he starts with the aged women. There is a purpose in what he is doing. And the purpose in what he is doing is so practical for the day in which we live in. Pastor, how do I know if I'm aged or if I'm young? So let's just use verse number 4 to help us out here, okay? The young women, they still have children in their homes. They're young in their marriage. Their kids are not married yet. So the aged women were probably the ladies who have raised their children. They're married. They're out of their home, and they're so on and so forth. Pastor, are you calling me old? Nope, I'm calling you aged. That's what the Bible says, right? The 4 things are mentioned. I think I can reduce them down to 2. Here's what Paul said. Now remember, the whole purpose here is the Cretan culture has crept in to these churches, and it's pulling away from the churches. They're pulling these people away from the Word of God. And Paul is concerned about something. Look, if you would, at verse number 5 at the very end of that verse. That the Word of God be not, say that word, blaspheme. If you got a pen, by that word, write the word discredited, injured, somehow delinquent. And so picture this. The culture has come in. They're pulling away the church from the authority of the Word of God. In pulling the church away from the Word of God, it's having an effect on the behavior of the church. And Paul says this, aged women, young women, nothing in your life ought to ever be used by the devil to discredit the Word of God. If you love the Lord, whether you're a man or a woman in this room, no Christian would ever want any part of their life to blaspheme or discredit the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul loved the Word of God. It was the power of God unto salvation. He gave his life for that word. That word had penetrated those Cretans and redeemed their soul. And the enemy's pulling that church away from the authority of the Word of God. And as he pulls them away from the Word of God, their behavior is changing. And Paul says, wait a minute. Nothing ought to blaspheme the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God ought to be loved by God's people. So aged women, Paul says, don't check out and don't check off. Don't check out and don't check off. That word behavior, aged woman, refers to your deportment. Don't get nervous. We're not talking about being deported out of the country. Your demeanor, your posturing, your personality. The behavior he's talking about here is the way that you move, the way that you carry yourself, the look on your face, the stare, the glance, the up, the down, the snoot, the nose, the disdain, how you present yourself. Help me. As a pastor, I've noticed that the more aged a woman gets, the more she's able to communicate without words. What she says or what she doesn't say. Her attitude. Paul says this to the aged woman who loves Jesus Christ. There ought to be the concern that nothing about you brings blasphemy to the Word of God. And that ought to in turn reflect in your behavior, your deportment, your demeanor, your posture, the way you carry yourself, the way you look, the way you glance, the way that you're known. And he says that ought to be enshrouded in your personality in holiness. You're never too old to be holy. Holiness is that which is that work of God that does in your heart, aged lady. Now you need this because I'm driving somewhere. Don't leave me. I got a great point for you. The opposite of holiness would be sinfulness or wicked. And Paul kind of lumps in his next statement. Look at verse number 3. It becometh holiness, not false accusers. That word is diabolos. Diablo. You know that word. It's devil. It carries with it a verbal assault. Aged women, in your deportment, in the way you carry yourself, you're to know holiness. Aged women, in the way that you present yourself and communicate, you're not to be a false accuser. We find a disconnect in churches today. Listen to what is happening. We're reaping what we sowed. We stood in front of our churches and said, old people, we don't want you anymore. Get out. We're going to do it differently. If you're not happy, go find somewhere else to go to church. Praise God, they found our church. So then we filled all of our churches with young people, and we've got all this energy. Excuse me, young people. Well, we don't have any smarts. No deportment, no demeanor. No understanding, no wisdom. We got energy everywhere, but we don't have anybody to teach. So then the pastors thought, good Lord, we got a problem here. Where do all those old people go? Oh, they went to Tom's church. So now we got to change what we're doing. So now they're going back to traditional services, and they're doing something. They're trying to bring the old people back. Now what they're trying to do is they're trying to cross-generate with their classes, and now they're trying to take the old people and mix them with the young people, and the young people and mix them with the old people, because they finally understood that God knows what he's talking about. And so what God wanted to do with you, aged woman, is God wants you to be a teacher. And God expects you to understand your ministry as you age, and your children are out of your home, and your grandchildren now are being born, and you have a husband, and you may have a career, but your deportment and demeanor ought to be growing in holiness, and you're moving now to a position where you can teach. But what's happening is aged women have divided themselves from the younger women because you're falsely accusing. Well, that woman don't know how to clean a house. They don't know respect. They don't know how to work. Look at that little lady. We didn't dress like that. We didn't do things like that. And if we're not careful, false accusation begins to come. And when you falsely accuse you accuse somebody's outward behavior, but we're also accusing their motives. And no relationship can handle accusation. That's why a man will run from you, ladies. A man cannot handle accusation. He cannot handle need. You should. Accusation, accusation, accusation. He'll be gone. Well, pastor, if he was a Christian man, he wouldn't leave me. No, if you were a godly woman, you wouldn't drive him. Okay. Moving right along. Aged women, your deportment is so important. But you can't falsely accuse them. Mother-in-laws, you better learn from me. You want to drive your in-law away, accuse them. Yeah. You don't understand what accusation does to human nature. And Paul's got this problem. These Cretans, they're liars, and they're evil beasts, and they're full of accusation. And it's coming into the church, and it's separating this church. And he says, whoa, 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 aged lady, you're to be teaching good things. And you'll never teach the next generation good things if you don't know holiness in your deportment, and your mouth is filled with accusation. He says here in verse number 3, not only that, don't be given too much wine. He's talking about a sobriety here. I do not want to preach this point. I told God this in my office. I said, God, this can't be of you. You know what God said? Write it down. Aged woman. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, finish it, she shall be praised. There's an outer beauty to a woman, and there's an inner beauty to a woman. When you're young, that outer beauty probably dominates, right? I'm thinking real slow in my brain right now, okay? You understand? The Bible says be swift to hear, slow to speak. As the human body ages, the outer beauty changes. And so sometimes that in that transitional period, a woman looks at herself in the mirror and says, "Ooh, I got to fix this, lift this, tuck this, do this." Right? In our culture, and in the Cretan culture, there was such an emphasis on the outer beauty, but the Bible puts an emphasis on the inner beauty. Now, women, listen to a man, okay? A man will reckon an outer beauty in your youth. He understands that. He understands when he looks at a woman that way. But there is something called an inner beauty that only God can do in you. There is something that God does in the spirit of a woman that makes her so beautiful inside that I have found as pastoring that the women, the aged women who go through the outer beauty process, but also understand the effect of the inner beauty that the Holy Spirit of God does, that inner beauty sustains that outer beauty. And every one of you men owe me money. I just saved you a lot of money in cosmetics. I want it too. Paul says to the aged women, have some soberness to you, some sobriety to you, have some beauty to you, because you're to be the teachers of good things. And you cannot teach outward beauty, but you can teach inward beauty. Here's our problem. We need the aged women of our churches to rise up and be teachers of good things. Your pastor needs you. I don't need you to falsely accuse the millennials. I don't need you to think that. I don't need you to carry your deportment and your glance and your stare and your words and your gossip. I need you to know humility, and I need you to know honor, and I need you to know holiness. I need you to be able to speak love and truth into the lives of our young people, because you are responsible to teach the younger women. Pastor, are you done with me? Yes, let's move on to the younger women. Verse number 4. That they may teach the young women. Now, young women, oh boy, here we go. Listen to your pastor. The very fact that the Bible says that you must be taught means you don't know. The very fact that the Bible says that a young woman needs to be taught is evidence that she does not know. I've been pastoring 13 years. I've been in ministry 24 years. And I still battle young women who think they know everything because they had one baby. Okay. Nobody knows everything. You got to be taught some things. And by the way, being teachable is a beautiful trait in a woman. A woman who thinks she knows everything drives a man and drives everybody else around. By the way, that's the same thing with a man too. Jesus said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. What did they need to teach? Look at verse, or what did they need to learn? Verse number 4. They need to learn to be sober. That word sober carries with it the idea to make sober. This is an action word that brings them, a person, back to their senses. It carried with it a chastening or a discipline. Now understand this. You've got young women that had become the faith in Christ, but they didn't have anybody preaching them the word of God. The Cretan culture had come in and grabbed these young women, and the Cretan culture was pulling these young women back into a culturalistic perspective. And really, truthfully, they were bringing them back to alcoholism, and they were bringing them back into a party kind of lifestyle here. And Paul is looking at the young women, and he says to them, listen, you need to learn some sobriety. If you are a young mother in this church, listen to this, pastor. The Bible says that saved women ought to be different than cultural women. We're different. Why are we different? Because Jesus Christ lives in our heart, and we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm finding that the young women of our church, there's no difference sometimes than the cultural. Young women that profess to know the Lord ought not to be immoral. They ought not to be alcoholics. They ought not to be running in those things. Listen, if you can go and do all that, then go do it. But don't do it and blaspheme the word of God. Paul says, whoa, teach them to be sober here. They're different. He goes on, teach them to love. Love, Pastor? You got to be taught to love? Oh, yeah. Well, who do we got to be taught to love? Look, to love their, say it, ladies, husbands, and to love their, okay. So a young woman needs to be taught by the aged women who haven't murdered their husbands. Teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Ladies, that's the order in which you're to love. A Bible woman needs to understand God's plan. Ladies, first off, if you're saved, you're a child of the living God. Number two, if you're married and you have children, you are a wife first, then you're a mother. Now, most young women get this backwards, right? As soon as the baby is born, and men, we tolerate that because the baby takes such emphasis and such focus, and we do all of that, and God knows we don't want to get up and feed. I should get an amen there. Cowards, amen. But sometimes that young woman, that focus never relents, and she never goes back to her husband as the love of her life. Listen, ladies, a man will tolerate that only for so long, then he will hate that. And I sit with them all the time, and they say, she pays me no attention. She treats those kids like they're gold. She won't get off that phone. She does nothing to show me my love. Oh, my goodness gracious, please learn that. Paul said, teach them to love their husband first, then to love their children. A wise aged woman ought to be teaching the young women that. And by the way, when it comes to loving your children, you love them differently, but you love them equally. You love them wholeheartedly. Don't try to love your kids the same. Every kid is different. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah. I'm listening to my own preaching right there. Love your husbands. Love their children. Young women, be discreet, sensible, self-controlled. Self-control. Chaste, pure, free from carnality. I love this one. Keepers of home. Pastor, does that mean that I gotta stay at home all the time? No. Does that mean I can't work out of the house? No. But young women, you need to hear that the word of God is not blasphemed. You need to give attention to your home. Aged women ought to be teaching this. You know, nobody invites the pastor over to their house anymore. Do you know what I have to do to actually go to visit somebody's house? I have to show up unannounced. All of a sudden I hear all these. Come in, Pastor. I'm not stupid. Okay. Young women, two things you need to think about in your home. The spirit of hospitality and of love and cleanliness. Cleanliness. Men, it is not the wife's job to clean your house from top to bottom. I know I'm preaching to myself here. We should be helping. Am I the only man that as I'm approaching now middle age and getting close to 50, I find I'm doing more of the chores? What blows my mind? It's volitional. I used to have a big argument and a fight and all that, and then I'd finally get up and do it. Now it's volitional. Your home matters. Your home reflects you. If your home is chaotic, young lady, you're probably chaotic. Your life is probably chaotic. If your home is filthy, it ought not to be. No Christian home ought to be filthy. No, nobody's. Paul said, the word of God is discredited by the way you keep your home. Now, listen, I'm not putting on you more than you can handle. I understand we've got small children, but I want to say this. You're not the only woman to ever have a baby. Well, I understand that you have to work, but you're not the only woman that ever had a baby and had to work. I understand you're not the only woman who ever had a baby and had to work and is married to a bum. You're not. But your home needs to carry a sweet, sweet spirit of hospitality and of love, and it needs to be kept that the word of God be not hindered. And even though your man says he doesn't care, a man likes a clean house. Amen. Moving on. I'm almost done. Aren't these great truths in the Bible? I am earning my money today. Okay. I want to say one other thing about your home. Thank you, God. He had me write it down. Stages. Stages. Young women. Yeah, you have a baby. So your house is going to smell like a baby. As the children get older, they're going to have toys. Okay, so you're going to have toys out. Understand, don't be one of those mothers that doesn't let their kids have toys. Don't be so neurotic you're picking up the toys right behind the kid as they go around. As you go through stages in your life, you find that you react differently in those stages. Wisdom knows how to relate in different stages of life. Let me say this to my young couples because God wants me to say this too. By the way, young people, while you have children in your home, that's not your money-making years. God knows it's not your money-making years. Pastor, we gotta do this. We gotta save. We gotta do this. We gotta do this. We gotta do this. We gotta do this. And you got all this pressure everywhere. No. You're a mother and you're a dad. As long as you have children in your house, I've learned two things. You own nothing nice. And you're not in the money-making part of your life. As you transition into that age part, there'll be time to make money. Don't you dare let those kids leave your house thinking you love money more than you love them. They'll hate you for that. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I knew you were going to get there, Pastor. All that's talking about is the sweet spirit of submission. If Jesus could be submitted, we can be submitted. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay, I'm done. You love the Lord? Here's the problem. You and I are facing the same thing that the Cretans are facing. The culture is trying to pull us away from the authority of the word of God. It is the word of God that teaches you how to be a man. It is the word of God that teaches you how to be a woman. It is the word of God that teaches a man how to act in the stages of his life. It is the word of God that teaches a woman how to act. Those of us that have learned to submit ourselves to the authority of the word of God, that it be not blasphemed by our lives, we are the one that know the joy of obeying the word of God. I pray that your home and my home would always be homes anchored by the word of God. Amen. Oh, it's a great day. It's Mother's Day. Men, my advice to you is, once you leave this building, shut up. Don't bring up my message. Don't fix my message. Don't apply my message. Shut up. For your own safety. Let's pray, shall we?